glory! Shout glory! Give somebody a warm hug. Give them a big God bless you. Give them a big God bless you. And you may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Don't be in a hurry to fill the pledge form. I know the committee wants to know what's going to come in as it affects their plans. But I want to say that this ablaze is a done deal already, amen? I want to give you some time to wait on the Lord and be led by the Spirit of God so that you can give the way God wants you to give without being manipulated, so that you can be blessed on the level that God wants to bless you on that level. One of the things that God has been doing in my personal and private life is what I've been sharing from last week. Dominion begins upstairs. This is where it begins. Upstairs. And I want to thank the media team for that beautiful graphic work. It captures what I had shared from last week up until, as far as last week was concerned, because I went to the book of Acts and I spoke about how that they had to go to the upper room, and in one accord, 120 of them stayed there until they were endued with power from above, and that signaled the birth of the church, the upper room. Now, whether it's the physical upper room or the upper room in your head, that's where dominion starts. You will discover in Revelation 1 and verse 10, John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard a voice behind me. It was loud like a trumpet. That voice told him to come up hither. We continue reading, but that's not where I'm going this morning. Time and time again, God would call Moses to come up to the mountain. Come up to the mount of the Lord. That was where he got the Ten Commandments from. At another time, God called him to come up to Mount Nebo. So there is something about going up. There is something about looking up. David said in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came amongst other things to bring people up from where they were. Get up! You are better than where you are right now. Isaiah put it this way in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. He said, arise, shine, for your light is come. Arise, then shine, because your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. You need to arise for you to shine. If you don't arise, you won't shine. There is a work that God is doing in our days, and we must flow with the Spirit of the living God. Whoever has your soul has your life. Joyce Meyer would say, wherever the mind goes, the man follows. You're in church this morning because you made up your mind to be here. If you made up your mind to be elsewhere, you'll be elsewhere. That's how powerful the mind is. So if I can get it right in my mind every time, I can get it right in my life. My mind is not the source. Don't get it twisted. The source is the Spirit, which is connected to the source, that is God himself. But there is a processing that goes on between your spirit and your soul. Your soul is divided into three compartments. You have your mind, your will, and your emotions. But that mind is the battlefield. So as you get instructions from the Holy Spirit into your born-again human spirit, your born-again human spirit transmits it in a digestible form to your mind. And then your mind processes it and then sends the signal to your body, and then you carry it out. That's the order. And that's how a Christian is supposed to live. You're supposed to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. The kingdom of God is within you. Where? In your heart. Luke 17, 20 to 21, they came to Jesus and asked him, when is the kingdom of God coming? And he said to them, the kingdom doesn't come by observation. Neither will they say to you, lo here, nor lo there. For the kingdom is within you, locked up in your spirit. But for you to let loose of the blessings of the kingdom, there has to be a processing from your spirit man to your soul, precisely to your mind, where decisions are taken. Your mind. Anybody can control your mind, they can control your life. What is the principle of indoctrination? Indoctrination is just taking over the mind of someone, period. Put a doctrine, the kind of doctrine you want to put there. Some young men, till today, all over the world, or in some parts of the world, actually in some parts of the world, are told, you are to live the life of a martyr. How? In another light, not the martyr of the Bible. You see, everyone who doesn't believe what you believe is an infidel. And if you're able to kill infidels, kill as many as you can. You can die in the process. That's fine. That's where the martyrdom comes. You have a reward. The reward is that on that day, when you open your eyes, in another world, you'll be given seven virgins. Only you. Yes, seven virgins, seven young ladies, proper ladies, not transgender, proper ladies that are virgins who have never been touched by a man. You will touch them. You will kiss them. You will have them. You will enjoy them. Seven. And maybe in some cases, if you're able to kill as many as you can, you might even, those virgins may be multiplied. Seven times three, and that will give you 21 virgins. They say, what? Where are the infidels? Because you want to marry seven virgins in another world. It's an indoctrination. And the next moment you know, a young man with a promising future would go into that school, they school them and school them and school them and school them. By the time they come out, they are fierce. They are wicked. They are ruthless. There's no milk of human compassion anymore. They plant bombs in their body. They are ready to be blown up into pieces. They don't care because of a reward ahead of them. You and I know that marriage only ends in this physical, material, three-dimensional world. Even for those of us who are going to heaven, there is no marriage in heaven. It all ends here. So for someone to believe that by the time they blow themselves up in this physical, that's somebody who should become another aeronautical engineer. That's another person who should become a scientist to make discoveries to bless the world. That's another medical doctor in the making, like Ben Carson, who is going to do another surgery that the world has never heard of, or what they said could never be done. Ben Carson did something they thought could never be done. The first set of Siamese twins to be properly separated. Ben Carson did it. Benjamin Franklin and some of these other people thought about electricity. Then came the likes of Thomas Edison and other people who picked up on it. Different people over time have come up with inventions that are blessing us today. Somebody discovered how to use the microphone to amplify the voice. In the days, in the physical ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the 12 apostles of the Lamb, they didn't use microphone. I don't know how Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved. I don't know how the crowd heard him, but the crowd heard him and they got saved. I think it was the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many of us can do that now. Inventions have come into the minds of people. And these inventions have blessed our lives. There was a time there was no cordless microphone. Even when the microphone was invented, it was the wired one. Today we can have an entire choir, no wires on the stage. In fact, I don't have to hold this. I can use the lapel. Technology. Inventions to bless our lives. In the 80s, when I was growing up, we didn't have a telephone in my house. My uncle had it in UI. I'm the only man in our entire family that had a telephone. On my streets where I lived, over time, as I got into secondary school and things were getting better and better, there was a man that had a telephone on our street. And so if my uncle was going to, another uncle of mine was going to call me from Abuja, we used to talk a lot, he would call that line, they would pick the call, they would tell him to hold on, put the receiver down like this, you dare not put it back on the box. If you put it back on the box, it cuts off the call. So they put it up like this, and then they send for me. It could take them 5-10 minutes to get me. My uncle would still be on the line. Then I would come and pick it up, and then they would talk to me. And I'd be so glad to hear from my uncle, and I would talk to him. I needed a middleman. Today, do you need a middleman to talk to anybody in any part of the world? Today, it's even possible to see who you are talking to, regardless of where they are. You are in Nigeria, they're in New Zealand. All of these things started and are still happening as a result of the illumination of the spirits of some people. Whether they are born again or not, they opened up themselves. Job 32 verse 8 says, but there is a spirit in man. I want to provoke you with this message to think on a higher level and come up to the level that God has made you. Come up, heather. If you're a scammer, stop scamming. If you can convince someone to give you money without you delivering the job, that means your brain is so active, you can turn it in the positive light and use it to bless people and actually deliver what you promise. And the more you deliver, the more clients will come, the more money you have. You scam once and you're caught, you go to jail. Scammers will wind up in jail in the name of Jesus. Amen. Children of God are not designed to function that way. You see, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where people lack vision, there is going to be an abuse. The Bible says in Job 32 verse 8, but there is a spirit in the born again man. Is that what your Bible says? I need thinking people to respond to me. Does your Bible say there's a spirit in every born again man? Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? But there is a spirit in man. All it takes is for you to be a man. There's a spirit in you. So whether you are an Aboki, or you are an Igbo man, or you're Yoruba man, or Igala, or French, or Chinese, or Hispanic, wherever you are, there's a spirit in man. God is no respecter of persons. There's a spirit in man. And then what does God do with that spirit? And the inspiration, the breathing, the breath of the Almighty God, El Shaddai, the Almighty, gives them how to understand how to do things. I was in a class many, many years ago. Trying to recall the year, maybe 2006. And I was learning Microsoft Visual Basic .NET, VB.NET. It was my first time in a programming class. And the guy training us was foreign trained, a Nigerian, but trained abroad. And the accent was out of this world. Thank God for our ability to speak English and to understand. So, to understand the lecturer was one thing, to understand the subject was another. After 3 months in that class, I said to myself, have I come to waste my British pounds? Because it was like he was speaking German every time. I went back to this scripture, Job 32 and verse 8, and I wrote it on all my materials, all of them. This was a UK program from Manchester. And we were paying in Naira, but we're paying pounds. And I was going to run that program for 1 year. And I didn't want my money and those who were supporting me to go down the drain. So I stayed on this scripture. I meditated on it until it became flesh. Until it began to change my thinking. That's where I'm going this morning. See, the day your thinking changes, your life begins to change. Your life will not change if you're thinking the same way you were thinking last year. There is no witch in the village that is afflicting your soul. They are helpless. The witches are hungry. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know who you call witches, really. Your grandmama. That, you see, again, that's thinking. That's a wrong way of thinking. Because that's what African magic and Nollywood, unfortunately, has done to us as a people. Every time there's a witch, it's never a young girl. It's some old septuagenarian or an octogenarian or a nonagenarian. Your great-grandmother in her 90s automatically is a witch, and she must not put a hand on your head. No. Some of you don't go home. You don't go home to see your grandparents because by default, you have been reprogrammed by television that an elderly person is a witch, forgetting that you will grow old someday too. And so you'll also become a witch. What has that got to do with it? While the white people open hospices, care homes to take care of the elderly, when you go to the bus station or the train station in America, they put the signs there. In fact, on the train, you give priority to the elderly. You give priority to the pregnant women. And those who are physically incapacitated. In Africa, somebody's physically incapacitated. Don't come near me so that the spirit in you will not jump inside me and then I become incapacitated. You see the way we're thinking? You see the way we're thinking? And you see why Africa is the way it is? You see why Nigeria is the way it is? Our leaders go abroad. They do. In fact, they live more abroad. They are globetrotters. The moment they are elected into office, they travel more than they stay here. But how come they are not, over the years, since 1960, they have never been able to transform Nigeria into a mini England? It is not the witches and wizards. It is up here. It's how people think. How did I get that? Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, you can never be greater than your thought life. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He thinks he has to look up to the white man every time because he can't think on his own. Yes, he has to do that. What are we producing in Nigeria? Nigeria is the sixth largest oil producing country in the world. Yet, we're still importing oil. We have refineries. They've not been working. Everybody has been shouting for all these years. Excuse me. Does it take rocket science to make refineries work? Thinking. Because some people think the moment they start working, they won't get the money coming to them anymore. And they have stolen and stolen and stolen to the point that they can't put the money in the bank. They have to build houses and put the monies there and turn on AC and run generator 24 hours because the currencies have to be cool. And the people who should be enjoying the money are sweating out there, sweating out their bones with nothing to show for it. Thinking, because you want to amass so much wealth that there will be no poverty again in your generations after you. But the Bible says that the foolish man gathers up treasures, not knowing who will spend it after him when he's gone. And in our lifetime, we have seen people, I don't want to mention names because we are streaming, who used to be in power. There was a former minister of finance in Nigeria. Back in the day, when the man was going to a party or an event, the tale of his traditional attire would be so long, like a wedding gown, that you needed people to hold. He was walking in power. He had the finances of Nigeria at his beck and call. Today, we don't know where his children and grandchildren are. or wealth, the Bible says, does not endure to every generation, not to all generations. It will develop wings and fly. How are we thinking? It bothers me when the same people who don't queue in Nigeria, we don't know how to queue, we jump the queue every time. They go abroad and then they queue. The moment we get outside the shores of Africa, we become law-abiding. Who has done this to us? Our thinking. That's why we go to the embassies and they refuse us visas. Because they look at you as very poor. So now you are going to go to a civilized society for the first time. You won't come back. That's also another way of thinking for them, which is wrong. And so when you go to the embassy, you need to prove to them that I'm coming back to my country. This is where God lives. I'm coming back here. The guy asked me, how many people are in your church? This was many, many years ago when I went for my first U.S. interview, 10 years ago actually. I said, I have 80 people in my church, and it's a mobile church, young people, so sometimes they're not in the mood to come. So 80 can come down to 60. And sometimes they're so hyped, they want to, I got to be in church, and that's the way it is. And so you can have 120. When I came back and I told my father-in-law, he said, really, you said that? I said, yes, I did. He said, if it were some people, they would inflate the figure to make the man to impress the consular officer. I pastor a thriving church of 300 to 500. No, I actually pastor 500 from anywhere around 750 to 1,500. When did that become a yardstick for success? Let's say you pastor 1,000. How many of them are Christ-like? Are they not the people going into the world to do all the evil? How about I have a church of 300 and the presence of God is in everyone, and everybody is conscious that you must not hurt your neighbor. You love your neighbor as yourself. And then thinking. I want to get you thinking. When Jesus came, I told you last week, he was a teacher. Jesus primarily was called a rabbi. A rabbi in the Hebrew tongue is teacher. Why was he called the teacher? Because he was teaching. Why was he teaching? Why is it important to teach? Because you see, ignorance kills people. Ignorance destroys people. And so when you see an area of your life that you're ignorant, go for teaching in that area. When I listen to some of your songs, I know, we need to upgrade what we teach. Because you need to come up and function at a higher level. When I see your drama, I say, this is beautiful, but it can be better. Then we need to upgrade what we teach. Number one, I said last week, and I'm going to go to number two now. To get the kingdom mindset into as many people as will be open to it. Jesus taught, primarily, number one, to get the kingdom, because he came to teach and preach the kingdom. So he wanted to get the kingdom mindset into as many people as would be open to it. They had their own way of thinking. They had their laws and the traditions of the elders, which they embraced, which many, many times were contrary to the teachings of the word of God, the teachings of the kingdom. So Jesus began to teach. We have Matthew 4:23. He went into all their synagogues and he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And something followed the teaching and preaching. Automatically, he was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. As the word went forth, the word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word, and the word sent healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The word is healing you this morning in the name of Jesus. The word of God, I trust God in this series, throughout this series, will upgrade your thinking in the name of Jesus. Because listen, when your thinking gets upgraded, your life quality gets upgraded. People think sometimes that it's about money, that money is their problem. If you give money to a man who has poverty mentality. He will waste the money. He will waste it, and in no time his life will go back to what it used to be, even maybe even worse than what it used to be. Haven't you heard of people that won the jackpot? Go online and do a research. In America, people who have won a $1 million jackpot, some of them, it didn't last 3 years, $1 million squandered, and they went back to begging. People who gain money by sports betting and gambling, they win a lot. Sometimes they could win $5 million in one night. I tell you, a night is coming when they will lose it all and then borrow money to go to buy gas in their car to drive home. It's about thinking. It's not about money. If you get your thinking right, when money comes into your hands, it will be utilized for the glory of God and the blessing of humanity. Why would somebody have access to Nigerian money and put it in barrels, seal it up with cellophane papers, and put them in a septic tank? Do you know septic tank? Soak away. Sorry. You know soak away? Soak away. Soak away. They put money there. Money that could be used to open businesses, to employ people. Money that could be used for STEM project, to help the girls and the boys who are in science, technology, whatever, engineering, mathematics, so Nigeria can be a better place. Such money kept in the septic tank. What have we not seen in this country? So really, I think our prayer points should change. Because the quality of our lives will not change, regardless of the fact that we are the sixth largest oil-producing country in the world. Not in Africa, in the world. Over 200 countries and nations and territories make up the world. Over 200. When you talk about quality of life, they should be comparing Nigeria with Qatar, Bahrain, Oman, Saudi, because those are oil producing countries. Don't even compare us with South Africa. But today, the truth is, you can't even stand South Africa. I don't know where you got the idea from. We're the giant of Africa. I don't know who came up with that. Because if you go to Ghana, Ghana has celebrated over 1 year of uninterrupted power supply. Nigeria has not celebrated 1 month, and you are the giant. Who called you giant? Oh, maybe you mean you are the Goliath? Because it was a giant. There are African countries we can't stand. You can't even stand Botswana. There are countries that have diamonds and they're utilizing it. There are countries in Africa whose currency is almost maybe 1.5 of US dollars. The Naira today stands at about $1, one US dollar stands at about 1,000, if I'm going to be modest, 500. 1,500 Naira, $1. You know what that means? One American can buy 1,500 Nigerians. Do you know that there was a time in this country that our Naira was stronger than the US dollar? Our Naira was an equivalent to £2, two British pounds. That's why do you know what they call Kponkon? Kponkon is 2 Naira. Our parents don't say it anymore because Kponkon has faded off with another generation. There was a time you didn't need to get a visa to go to England. They gave you a visa on arrival. You will buy your ticket and then you go, 56 Naira, thereabout. And these wicked people have been in power. And things just keep getting worse. Look. Listen. Nigerian youth, listen. If you want your life to be better, upgrade your thinking. Your destiny is not in the hands of any politician. I don't care who you are following. If he just gets there, things will be better. What if he never gets there? You know why my father didn't buy a car? I will expose, this is my family now, family talk, but I will expose it to you. My father was waiting for MK Abiola to be made president. Because part of his campaign promises was that he was going to make Volkswagen Beetle available, at least for the masses. That was like the cheapest car of the day. That's like what we have now, your Nissan Micra, you know those Micra cars? Volkswagen Beetle was the smallest at that time. And Abiola promised to sell it, I think, for maybe 3,000 naira or 7,000 naira, brand new. My father was so excited. He came home with the news. Abiola will become president. He will make Volkswagen available and to be 3,000 or maybe 7,000 naira. Little boy that I was also excited. My dad would have a car. We had a scooter, and I was tired of that scooter because many times as we're going, sometimes they would put me in front, and then the breeze is like Okada. Vespa. You know Vespa? You don't even know Vespa? They would put me in front, and then it would be zooming. Breeze would be coming to my eyes. And before you know it, tears all over the place. My father would say, no. When you're on the scooter like that, you squint your eyes a little bit. You just close it a little. Don't open it like that, like globe. And you know what my eyeballs look like? Guess what? Abiola never became president. He won the election, quite all right. We were hoping he was going to be inaugurated. He wound up in hiding, wound up in jail somehow, wound up somewhere, and then finally died. And my father's dream of owning a car died because his favorite presidential candidate did not get into office. A way of thinking. I said to myself, I will do better than my father. I preached a message many years ago when Expression House was an afternoon church and we used to meet upstairs. It's a pity they can't lay hands on it anymore because we recorded it on the old recorder that we had back in the day. I'll find a way to re-preach it someday. It might not be the same content, but I still remember the thoughts that God gave me. I titled it, Never Repeat the Mistakes of Your Parents. Never! I grew up in the trenches. It was a face me, a slap you kind of house. I mean, there was no secret about what you ate. Everybody knew what you ate. And we knew what you ate too. So there's no point bragging about what I ate. No. We knew what you ate. We ate beans, you ate rice. Our mama cooked in the same kitchen. Dark, like the shrine of the devil. Sometimes they cooked in the passage, what you call passage. And goats passed by, pooed on the floor. My goodness, I don't know how I survived those days. We use latrine, not toilet. Latrine, you know latrine? Umaga, shalanga. It's funny now. It wasn't funny when I was growing up. It wasn't funny. I said to myself, when I'm going to get married, by the grace of God, I'm not going to raise my kids in this kind of environment. Because my father did something for me, my father of blessed memory. He allowed me explore. My father allowed me travel. Go to Abuja by yourself. Go to your uncle. And those were not the days they'll be monitoring you using a mobile phone. There were no mobile phones. And if there were, we couldn't afford it. My going out to the University of Ibadan, to number 20 Parry Road, to my uncle's house, who was a professor, was one of the greatest blessings that my father handed me. Just my going there. I went there and I saw how things were done differently. I saw the green grass in front of the flats. No fence, just the grass. I played with my cousins. They spoke different kind of English back in the day than I did. So this is personal development. They had an AC. They had white furniture. I mean white. Sofa. The cover, the cloth, the fabric was white. And some little dots of pink. There was an air freshener. So there was a way the house had a nice smell. I knew the odor in my place. There's a difference between a smell and an odor. You might not take it seriously, but I can tell you, all of those things mattered to the little boy in me. The power of exposure. That is what it's called. I saw certain things, and I imagined myself having my children and giving them these things.
that I saw.
Not too long ago, I drove to UI. My uncle is in heaven now. He's late. Of course, he moved out of UI after a while, built his own houses in Bodija. But I drove there to relieve my childhood memories. My uncle had a Mercedes-Benz 200, regular, OD3077KA. That was the number. As a little boy, there was an artist in me. I used to draw. I don't know where it has gone to, but I used to draw a lot. I drew my uncle. I drew his car. I drew the flat he lived in. I drew my cousins. The power of imagination. Dominion starts here. That was my introduction to Mercedes-Benz. And as a little boy, I desired that someday when I grow up, I will drive a Mercedes-Benz. I will own a Mercedes-Benz. My father never owned a car. If I didn't tell you, you wouldn't know. I don't look like someone whose father didn't own a car. When I joined Shekinah Stones and they were auditioning me and I told them I didn't have a father, they didn't believe it. They said, you? No. Tell us the schools you attended. Before I spoke, somebody said, oh, Fred must have gone to staff school, from staff school to ISI. And in my head, I was smiling like, I wish. They said, I remember the lady who said it. You know, she really liked me a lot back in the day. She said, you know, the way he even speaks English, you know. I said, I let them finish. When they finished, I said, well, I had the privilege of having my primary education at United Brothers Primary School. When I say United Brothers Primary School, someone said, oh, that must be a private school. And I said, well, location, Okeagala. All their faces dropped. Tell us about your secondary school. St. Gabriel's Secondary Commercial School. Sabu Mokola Ibada. No, Fred, be serious. Everything, you turn everything to comedy. This is not comedy. Like we're very serious. We want to take your profile. Profile. I'm the profile. Are you with me, church? I am what I am today by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. But I don't care if I'm not able to really go into all that I want to share with you today. I want my life to inspire somebody, and I want the word of God to be your major catalyst. One of the greatest things that God has done in my life was to change my thinking. Look, I don't think small, and I don't ever see myself inferior to anybody, including the present son of the present president. If I meet him, hey, how you doing, man? I don't worship people. The son of the president. Bros. So that maybe he can say, how far now? Who be this guy? Come, let me see if I can help you. No. My help is not in your hands. It's with God. God can use anybody. I don't need to know the president to be helped by God. The president of Ghana may be used by God for a Nigerian. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are people not in Nigeria who are winning Bill Gates scholarship? Are people not in Nigeria who are getting grants from SMEs and all of that from Microsoft and these other corporations? So it's really not about who you know. It's about what you know. It's about how you think up here. God changed my thinking. I saw myself less than no man. Not being arrogant, but just thinking alongside the word of God. The Bible says, I can do all things. How many things? Through whom? Through your parents. That's the problem some of you have. Your parents. No, my dad is connected. My dad. The day you get out of that mode, you begin to get the help of God. It's a blessing if your dad is connected. But the connection of your dad may never help you. And God is looking at you. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I understand the context. The context is, I know how to abase and how to abound. When I have and when I don't have, I can cope with anything. I can do all things. But you can also apply this to your life, telling yourself that you can do all things. You can be who God wants you to be. We've heard of the great man of God, Benson Idahosa, Archbishop Benson Idahosa. How many of you know his parents? How many children of great people turn out to be great? Think. Sometimes when your parents are great, it's a problem. Think outside the box. And go for your own greatness. Don't live on past glory. Go to Bodija. Many of the people that built the houses are dead. Where are the children? Smoking weed on the streets. Thinking. They have put all their lives on their property. My dad's property. We got a house here, we got a house there, we got. And when you're broke, you sell the house, use the money to smoke weed. What are you going to leave for your own children? So you see where the wealth ends? It's built by one generation. That generation knew how to work so hard. They had nobody, no connection. So they worked hard. They depended on God. They built something, but some of them didn't build their children. The child you refuse to build will sell the house you build. I have some information I can't share. It's too sensitive. One powerful politician in this country, very powerful, said to a lady, one of his girlfriends, who turned out to be the younger sister of a woman I met some time ago, and the woman was telling me this, the man put the girl in the car and was driving her around Abuja. I was pointing. You see that mighty house there is owned by so and so person. See that one owned by so and so person. That was all he was doing that day. It was just a tour. Then the lady asked, why are you showing me all these houses? Then he showed her his own houses. Said, we were the children of nobodies yesterday. And we built all of this. And we are somebody. But we have not built our children. And so our children, when we are gone, will sell this property to the children of nobodies. The man is a Muslim, a former presidential candidate. He already knew, but he's helpless because a life without Christ is helpless. It's a life in a major crisis. Why did Christ come? Primarily, he came to upgrade our thinking, to save our soul, and to upgrade our thinking, because we are going to a heaven that is perfect, so that we don't feel like strangers when we get there. He came to give us the kingdom mindset. There's the way things work in the kingdom. No matter who you are, when you go abroad for the first time, whether America or the UK, you will do something funny. I promise you, you will do something, and somebody is going to say, It might not be funny to you, but they'll say, They might not even talk. My first time in Atlanta, Georgia, they took me to a place called the Buka to eat. I was going to travel again that day. I arrived at Atlanta last night. I was going to travel the next day. I was going to North Carolina. Virginia, actually. Not Carolina, Virginia. So in Atlanta, they took me to the Buka. When I got to the Buka, I saw the pictures of Majid Michael and all these Ghanaian artists. You know, what do you call them? Whatever wood. The guy that drove me there, a brother in our church in Atlanta. And he whispered, but his voice was like mine. It was a baritone, so I could hear his whisper. I said, hey, I heard what you said. So the guy said, no, I'm sorry, sir. I said, no, you were asking if I was the JJC. He just went like, yeah, something like that. So I said, why? I wanted to know. Because I sincerely wanted fish and meat. He now said, we'd like to show you the fish first, sir. So the guy brought the fish in a tray. It was a full fish. My thinking, where I was coming from, Sorry, Nia Biru. It was the whole fish. And the only place where they serve a whole fish is a party of rich people. And not everybody gets the fish. My God. It's for the VVIPs, the governor and his entourage and some big boys who are very close to the celebrant. If it's a burial, the richest son or the richest daughter of the person that died, the friends, the inner clique, they make only 20. So the rest of you don't be looking. They can give you fried potato, you can chew your normal and ketchup and small stuff in it. But the full fish, and man, those waiters are wicked. They will not display it like this. And your eye will be following it. That's what they sell. That's how they sell it. The meat, they are chopped into chunks and plenty. So there was no way I could have finished the fish and meat at the same time. In fact, so I said, okay, give me fish. When they brought the fish, I ate part of it. I left the rest. The guy looked at me like, what to do? I didn't also know that they have to-go packs. What we call takeaway. They call it to-go. So when you don't finish your food, you can tell them they'll pack it in to-go. And gladly you take it. But where I'm coming from in Nigeria, when you ask for that, they will look at it like, are you so poor? But in America, they think, no, you don't have to waste this. Take it with you. You bought it with your money. Put it in the freezer. You can microwave it some of the time. Who did us like this? Another time I was in North Carolina, another 2 years after I traveled a couple of times, and I was charging my tab. And Rennie, God bless you, Rennie. She's the wife of my host, so they're my people. I mentor them. Rennie calls me P. Fred. She said, P. Fred? I said, yes, Rennie. Why are you charging your tab? I said, it needs to be charged. Like, I don't get it. I've observed since yesterday you've been charging and charging. P. Fred. And I was, Rennie, what's your problem with my charging and charging? Because in my mind, I only didn't say it out. NEPA can take light anytime. But hey, there was no NEPA in America. Oh, Lord, deliver me from Nigeria. It's a major deliverance. Another time, I was downtown. I was in Houston, Texas. The bus stopped at the station, and I was going to grab my bag and run everybody down to jump down because in my mind, this bus will move anytime. My friend held me and said, oh, don't disgrace yourself here. I said, why? He said, this bus is not going to move until the last person gets down. I said, the driver is not looking at us. He said, who told you? It was a very long bus. The driver couldn't see me. He said, who told you? I said, okay. Adjust. One of the girls I mentor in the UK, she's a married woman now, an aburu of mine. She came home years ago. We went to the VI to do one or two things, sort out her passport, and we were going to cross the road. So she saw zebra crossing. And she stepped on it. A truck, 7-Up company, bottling company, was running down the road. I ran to the middle of the road. Fine girl, I didn't care how. I carried her off the road. And the truck veered up. Phew, and you know what the truck driver did? Yeah! The girl was in shock. Like, excuse me, that was zebra crossing. The next word I've been doing was ilelolo tarara. It's the way they think. Look, human beings are human beings everywhere. Difference. between the rich and the poor. And the difference between the sickly Christian and the healthy one who says, I will not be sick because of revelation that he has found from the word of God in their thinking. When revelation comes, it comes to your spirit. It cascades, if you allow it, into your mind and reprograms how you think. I can never be in a battle with you and I lose. So I don't really go into battles with people. We know who we're battling with. But if a human being chooses to now be my enemy, to be in a battle with me, you have lost ab initio. It's a product of thinking. And it's a product of the word of God. Jesus came to tell the people, poor man, you don't have to be poor anymore. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel, number one, to the poor. What is the gospel, the good news? What is the good news to a poor man? Remain poor, for it is the will of God. Could that be? What is the gospel to the blind man? Quoting from Isaiah 61 and Luke 4. Blind man, you don't have to be blind anymore. The kingdom of God is here. Begin to see. What is the gospel to a man who is struggling with getting admission to the university? Hey, God wants you to move on. God wants you to step ahead and have a degree. But I think it's the witches in our village. Every time I write an exam, this is my result. We can break that bow. We can break that yoke. Barry brought a young man. He told me about a young man that he was mentoring. He's still mentoring. Every time he wrote jam, he did well, right? Made his own levels. Beautiful. Fine result. Because he sent to me. What happened? For some reason, they will not give him admission in UI. And the boy wanted to study medicine. From a very humble background, no money. I told Larry, bring him. When the boy wasn't coming, I said, don't worry, I'll pray. I took his matter to God. That boy is studying medicine in UI now. He's a member of this church now. What is the gospel to him? Say to him, M for medicine, M for mechanic. Maybe your head does not go to school. You know what people say? How do you know the head that does not read, that can't go to school? How? How now? The reason some people opted for pharmacy and not medicine is because they felt, medicine will be too tough. Let me go for pharmacy. Oh, for you to get to pharmacy and discover that even that one, now walk. Let me just go for physiotherapy. You know, and they really desired medicine. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you may probably have it or not. What did he say? You shall, with a note of finality, you shall. Unless I don't want to go to that country. Any country I desire to go, I go. Any, unless I don't have time and I've not made up my mind. Think that way. You are a product of the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador for Christ. With God, impossible is nothing. A 90-year-old woman that had reached menopause by the name Mama Sarah gave birth. A woman over 60-year-old in the church in Ibadan, Agbala Itura, they interviewed her. How did you give birth? She didn't do IVF. Over 60. How did you do it? She was not even educated. She didn't go to school. She said, God promised and he fulfilled it. What have you been doing in between? I've been believing him. She bon lo so, yosise. And here we are with all our sophistication, doubting God every day. Doubting God every day. Some of us, you are a doubter, not a believer. Every promise you see in the Bible, you skip it. That one can't be for me. Let me go to something else. Something lower. Something lower will lead you to a lower life. It's time for us to get up. Step up. If I tell you now that this coming ablaze, the least I want from you is 100,000 naira as a seed. Some of you say, 100,000. Even my entire allowance is not up to that. You see the way you think. Because you're already thinking about your allowance. You're already thinking about your account. You are not thinking of what God can bring. Of thinking. If I tell you, some of you, I don't expect you to give less than 1 million. 1 million. Where would I get it from? The thought of 1 million sparks fear in your heart. 1 million. Ah. Because I wanted to upgrade your thinking. When I stood here on this altar a few months ago, April, and I said, this church is going to give 1 million as part of the 5 million for diesel budget. After we had given what we were told to give for Dunamis, we didn't have 500, we didn't have 300,000 in the account. In a matter of 2-3 weeks, God provided it. We had more than to give. The way I live my life, I want something done. I pray. I meditate on the word of God. I allow the word of God to change my thinking. Whatever limits your thinking limits your life. I don't know how better to say it. Pardon my English. I don't have a better way. Whatever limits your thinking limits your life. Number two. I gave you number one last week. Number two, I hope I'm able to push this a little and stop here. I have 5 minutes to go. To enjoy God's best. Why was Jesus always teaching? Why was he teaching? Number one, to get the kingdom mindset into people, as many as will be open to it. Number two, to enjoy God's best, you have to take up his thoughts. You have to take up God's thoughts. How many of you know that God has thoughts? How many of you know, lift up your hand, that God thinks and he has thoughts? Okay. You see this Bible? Go and quote me anywhere. Say one Pastor Fred taught you heresy. This Bible is a compendium of God's thoughts. If you want to know how God thinks, get into the Bible. If you want to take up his thoughts to replace your own thoughts, get in these every day. This word is God's medicine for mind re-engineering. Take it 2-3 times daily. If symptoms persist, double the dose. This word will bring healing to your physical body. The word of God will bring healing to your body. It will bring renewal to your mind. It will bring joy and peace to your spirit man. It will bring boldness to your voice and your countenance. If you go for a job interview and your legs are shaking already. This one doesn't have confidence. We don't want a person that is not confident. Why are you speaking so confidently? Because I'm a child of the Most High God. I went to one office some time ago. The security man called me back. He said, excuse me. After I'd walked past him, I'd asked him the direction. He had told me the direction I was going. He said, excuse me, sir, I'd like to see you. So I stopped. I said, what, sir? This was about 7:30 in the morning in Oluyole. I said, why do you want to see me? He said, sir, I like your confidence. I said, really? Thank you. As I was going, he said, excuse me, sir, what church do you attend? I pastored the youth church of the Stone Church, Mokola. He said, I will come to that church one day. The security man. I don't know what he saw. Maybe when people come to that organization, their legs are shaking. Excuse me. Hey, Joe, please. I'm trying to see. You see, they can see lack of confidence even in your voice. It can be seen. It's visible in your voice and it's also audible there. Why are you going to the United States of America? I'm going there to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going because my uncle said that I should come. So when I should not come, so I'm not trying to come there now. So for holiday, for vacation, I can tell you they won't give that guy. I got there, I greeted the guy first. Hello, good morning. He didn't respond. Very well. Your cup of coffee. Kept typing. After a while, he lifted up his eyes. Good morning. Oh, finally responded. I said, how are you? I added that one. He didn't respond to that one. He just went straight to business. Don't get familiar with me. What are you feeling like? And in my mind, I said, what are you feeling like? My father owns this place. Give me the visa, whether I like it or not. I got it. To enjoy God's best, you have to take up his thoughts. You'll be thinking like a child of your father. You should reflect who your father is. People should look at you in the kingdom of darkness and say, Paul, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. They didn't only know Jesus in the realm of the spirit, they also knew Paul. Who are you? Because you have no address in the realm of the spirit. There were the seven sons of one Sceva. One demon beat the hell out of seven of them. Tore their clothes. They left the place wounded and naked in the Acts of the Apostles. And I think chapter 17 or so. Take up God's thoughts. The people of his day, the people of Jesus' day, were thinking based on their fallen Adamic nature. Listen. It was about the ritual of washing of hands before eating. That was all their thought. They saw the disciples eating without washing their hands. Ah! Sacrilege! Because according to them, the washing of your hands will determine the washing of your heart. You must be a clean person when you wash. Up till today, the Jewish people wash. They do a lot of washing. Wash before you go to the sanctuary. When you come back, you wash. Before you eat, you wash. Every time, wash. Women having their menstrual cycle, you can't come to church because you are unclean. Unclean. That's the way they were thinking. As a leper, you can't come inside the town. Outside, you need to be clean. If you were lame, you can't eat in the king's palace. Unclean. Jesus came and said, No.
I'll show you that scripture. That might be it for today. Okay.
It was about the ritual of washing of hands before eating. It was fussing about someone carrying a bed on the Sabbath day, because to them, that was work. Thou shalt not do any work on the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day is holy. Why carriest thou thy bed? You carried bed. You carried your bed. This was a man that had been lame, had been sick, had been paralyzed for 38 years. John chapter 5. None of the religious leaders of the day went to him to heal him. They couldn't. They didn't have the power to heal. They saw the man now carrying his bed healed. Were they not supposed to throw a party and say, thanks be to our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Oh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. No. Young man, why are you carrying your bed on Sabbath day? The man said to them, the one that healed me, the same said to me, carry your bed and go home. In Israel today, on the Sabbath day, because of their technology, there are certain things they won't even allow you to do with your hands. Mutun's mom was sharing with us some time ago. I think maybe they took a trip to Israel. Short one. Some elevators, you will not even push the button. Stand before it, the sensors will work to open. Just don't do any work because it's Sabbath day. Push the button, no, you have walked. That's how serious the religious people were. They took Jesus up for healing somebody on the Sabbath day in the church. A man with a withered hand. Jesus knew their thoughts. I love Jesus. He provoked people's thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He knew they would talk. He now said, hey, man with the withered hand, your hand is restored. Oh yeah, put it down. The hand was withered. Like this. Everywhere the man went, you think he was driving. He wasn't driving. Everywhere. You can imagine the man sleeping. The hand was. The man put it down. He was healed. On the Sabbath day, the religious leaders were furious. They were livid with rage. How dare you spoil the celebrate Sabbath day by working. And Jesus put it to them straight. You wicked people. How many of you will have his animal go for watering and fall into a ditch and will say, because it's Sabbath day, we don't rescue the animal. You rescue your animal, you give it an excuse. But a child of God does not deserve to be healed. How about the woman that was bent over? Bent over for 18 years. 18! 18! She could not lift up herself. 18, working like this, 18 years. How many of us can do this for 24 hours? You can't even do it in the gym. You fall down. Somebody's doing that for 18 years. And Jesus looked upon her and pitied and said, this is the daughter of Abraham. Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Boom. Her bone crack, 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 crack. She stood up. There should be jubilation. Sabbath day. On the Sabbath. The Sabbath was more important to them. Sabbath. Not the kindness of God. The Lord of the Sabbath is here. Jesus. He came to change their thinking. To them, it was about the tradition of the elders. I'll stop here. Matthew 15. Matthew 15, that's probably all I'm going to read. And I'll stop there for today. I don't want to go beyond that. Matthew 15, 1 to 20. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, see them, scribes, they were the lettered people who could write, and the Pharisees, those who were obeying the law to the letter. They came to Jesus. They brought one question. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Why? Why? For they wash not their hands. When they eat bread, they don't wash their hands. Oh! Dirty people, impure people. Why? But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? God wants people free, you put them in bondage. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That is, you can disobey. A child can disobey the parents, but if you give them money, settle them, it's free. Let him go. Doesn't matter how he got the money. It can be Yahoo money. Just settle them. Dad, I bought you a car. Mom, calm down. That's 1 million in your account. The tradition says he's free. But he has dishonored his father and mother. But God said honor them. He didn't say give them money. Money will come later. But honor first. Ye hypocrites. You see, Jesus didn't spare them. Gave them hot. Ye hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrines that lacked life. Doctrines that could not heal the sick. Yeah, doctrine. People are there on social media now arguing. There's no, comma is not supposed to be there. 1 Peter 2:24 is not a healing scripture. 12 John 1:2 is not about prosperity. People are hungry. Who cares about your theology? Show them God. You are showing them your skill, what you know about the Bible. Who cares? And the people who are doing the work, you are attacking them. You can be so bitter and jealous in this world. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that, listen, church, please, let's read this together. This is where we're going to stop. This is
very important. I promise you. In fact, I close my iPad and I'm not going to quote any other scripture after this one. Now, but you need to get this one, please, because I'm going to take it from there next week. You need to get, let's stop together here. Not that, verse 11, not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. What goes into your mouth does not defile you, does not make you impure, does not make you immoral. It is what comes out of you. It is what we hear out of you. How? Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? It challenged and provoked their thinking. So the disciples came to tell him. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every doctrine that is not of God shall be rooted up. Amen? Let them alone. Let them go and get angry. Whatever they want to get angry, let them get angry. And because they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's why Jesus came for the blind to see. Did you get what I said? These were the blind leaders of the blind. Jesus came to introduce a new order. And then answered Peter, said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, are you also yet without understanding? If PFE said that to a church member, they'll say, oh no, not a nice pastor. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at your mouth or through your mouth goes into the belly, right? Your food does not go to your legs. When we're growing up, they say don't stand eating, because if you stand eating, your food is going to your legs. No, it's going to your belly. I'm sure we all know better now. It goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought through the anus. Whatever you eat, enjoy while you eat it. It's still going to turn to something else that you're not going to be able to eat. Entry point, exit point. God is so amazing. See the way he created us. There's an entry point. There's an exit point, which you don't have to look at. This one, you need to look what you eat. But when it's going out, it's your choice. If you look there, God so positioned it at the back. Praise the Lord. Forget about the past things. Don't go back there. Amen. Things of old. They are things of old. Remember not the former things. I do a new thing. Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. The heart here will be the heart through the mind, then out of the mouth. Because you think about what you say. I said it by mistake, it's not true. You thought about it. I love you. It didn't just jump on me. I thought about it and I released it. Glory to God. Do you say that to everybody? No, you don't. But you calculate some people. I love you. Words are only containers of thoughts. Words are containers of thoughts. Words are the shell that contain the substance you are thinking about. The words I'm speaking to you this morning are my thoughts that I've taken up from God. Are you with me, church? If anybody says anything to you, is what they have thought about. I can't just look at you and say, you are stupid. I must have thought about it. And this guy is stupid in all his ways. I thought about it in my mind. Then I invited you to my office and said, hey, you're stupid. But I don't want you to be stupid again. And as I release it to you, it becomes thoughts again in your mind. And it can imprison you for life. Pastor called me stupid. 5 years ago, a particular pastor called me stupid. 45 years ago, when I was in the university, I was in a church in Mokola, in a place called Ibadan, in Nigeria. A pastor called me stupid. The guy is still in prison. He hasn't come out of the prison of what the pastor said.
Some of you are crying today because of what grandma said 15 years ago. And grandma is dead and you are still crying. Grandma said, I'm not beautiful. She said, I'm not beautiful. Maybe that's why I don't have a boyfriend. Nobody likes me. Hey, hey! Take up the thought of God. Take up the thought of God. What is God saying? God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can I have an amen? Anybody can go to places with their opinion. Take up the thought of God. Ladies, take this up. Guys, take this up. You are loved. You are blessed. You are highly favored. You are beloved of God. You are God's beloved. Doesn't matter if you don't like me, your cup of coffee. God loves me. And that forms my thinking. So I talk like someone God loves. There's a particular girl in our church. This church, she's listening to me right now. She describes herself as the girl God loves. And that's what I call her now. I almost don't know her name again anymore. Because 2-3 times I've heard her say, I'm the girl God loves. I'm the girl God loves. And really, I'm seeing her as the girl God loves. Don't be jealous of her. How do you describe yourself? I'm the girl. Experience. Hate. They said they had me by mistake. Oh God. Let's go on. I want us to finish this. Verse 19. For out of the heart, that's out of the spirit, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. So before you steal, you think about it. False witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing, I like King James, unwashing hands defileth not a man. Amen. There is something we are fighting in Nigeria called corruption. It is theft. It is stealing. Before you steal, you think about it. This money that is passing through my office is meant to provide water in the rural areas in my constituency. The money has come, $150 million. I have an option, whether to use the money for the project and let the people of my constituency have access to potable water, at least clean water to drink and to cook, or I divert the money. This money, if I put it in a block account, if I freeze it, or what do you call it? Yeah, what's the term you use in banking? When you keep money you don't want to spend. Do not save. There's a name for it. Fix it. Thank you. If I fix it, in 1 month, it's going to yield $50,000. $50,000. If I turn it over another month, it will be compound interest. It won't be $100,000. It will be like $125,000. If I turn it over another month, it will give me $300,000 in 3 months. I already have $300,000 profit on money doing nothing. People are dying of cholera. They are dying of typhoid and all waterborne diseases in my village. I can now add the profit. Let me leave it for 1 year to at least have yielded more, maybe up to $1 million or $1.5 million. I will use that $1.5 million to buy cars for my girlfriends, about 10 of them. I promise that one, Mercedes-Benz, that one, Camry, that one, I had like coconut. Let me just buy Corolla. Then the main money, I can send it to Dubai and I can buy 3 houses. No, I can buy 1 block of flats and be renting it. Let it be generating money. Is in my name, but I'll put it in the name of the cousin of the cousin of the neighbor of the auntie of the neighbor of the sister of somebody related to me. But it's my property. And so Nigerian politicians have diverted Nigeria's resources meant for Nigerians into private enterprise. They build hotels, they build universities, they build all kinds of businesses, and they look for honest Nigerians to manage the businesses they built with dishonest money. While the beneficiaries, the original beneficiaries of the money, will be dying of preventable deaths. People still die of typhoid in our country. Cholera. There was an outbreak recently in the Nigeria of the 21st century. Cholera. Cholera. Do you know that if you go abroad, the Western world, and you say you have malaria, they will quarantine you? Malaria is like saying you have HIV. What? No, HIV, they will quarantine you. They say you have Ebola or COVID. Malaria. But malaria is normal here. Even when you don't have it, you say I have malaria. Why didn't you come to church yesterday? It was malaria. Do you know malaria wiped out people back in the day before they discovered the vaccines and all of the drugs to tackle it? All because some people will not do their job. I met a former VC of UI, Professor A.B.O.O. Oyediran, an uncle to our father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adegwe. When I read his profile online, he was one of the people that fought Guinea worm to a standstill in Nigeria. And I remember the radio advert when I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years old in the 80s. They will play it on radio. Bully your water, oh, auntie, bully your water, oh, brother, bully your water, oh, auntie, bully your water, oh. Water where you know, boil yo, it they cause a Guinea worm, it they cause a Guinea worm. They were sensitizing the country. That before you drink your water, boil it. Before you use it for anything, boil it. And that was how, and some other measures, they were able to curtail Guinea worm because Guinea worm was killing people in Nigeria. Old man now can hardly walk by himself. Those were people that contributed to the well-being of our country. But there were other people after them who received the same grant, but diverted it to sending their children abroad to go and study in Cambridge. No wonder today those children have, some of them are on drugs permanently. They are addicts. The only thing they have is English in their mouth. How can you collect what belongs to everybody and you sit on it? You buy cars, you build houses. Sometimes when those houses collapse, you'll be wondering, and then, what happened now? It's such a mighty house like that. You didn't know. I'm not saying every house that collapses like that. I'm just saying. One of them, his son died on the streets of Dubai like a chicken. A particular corrupt former governor in Nigeria, he stole his state blind. The people of that state can't drink their water because they drill oil in their land. The land is soiled. They can't farm. They are hungry. And the government pumps money for their welfare. Governor sits on it. They arrested him in the UK. Too much money. Money laundering. The pounds that Oyinbo have never seen in their lives. Go to England. Give them £50 when you go to shop. They will put it under light. Under blue light. The girl at the checking, they call it the tail, where they are checking you out. The girl has never seen it before. People use cards. She's never seen £50. She's 20 years old. The Nigerian will come. Keep £50. We'll give her like five. Two. They need to check. I've done it in America. Give them 100. I pay $100. Now we they carry cash. Agbowoni. $100. They'll put it under the light. Because they're not so wired. You want to check whether it's genuine or not. They've never seen it before. One Nigerian. I get $6 million in the house. One Nigerian. What are you doing with that money? Money meant for people. Jesus said, out of the heart. Out of the heart. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Nobody steals by accident. It's calculated. Ah, PFCC, I just suddenly found the money in my account. I don't know how. Do you know how stupid these thieves are? Some time ago on the news, we heard that in a particular agency in Nigeria, they said snakes swallowed millions of naira. A mysterious snake. That's the level they have been downgraded to. In another company, they said it was monkey. It was monkey. A monkey showed up. One will still tell us mosquito. They can't understand. There was a particular mosquito. And let me tell you what. As that mosquito was afflicting them, they used 1 billion to purchase insecticide to kill all the mosquitoes. But there was a particular mosquito, it didn't die. So they now use 5.5 billion to invite Prophet Imam Ulama and Babalawo to come and do rituals to cleanse the place spiritually. But still, the money is mysteriously missing because of the mysterious mosquito. Please, who writes all these scripts? You see it also in the quality of what we are bringing out in Nollywood and all these things. When you sit down to watch a Nigerian movie, sit down 5 minutes, you can tell where the story is going. That guest car will break down now. He doesn't have a job. He will not button his shirt. That's the time he will be strolling out. He's wearing slippers and faded jeans. Then he will stop. Hey, can I help you? Oh, I really need help. He helps. They exchange numbers. They start calling. They fall in love. The next moment, she touches him up. Next moment, they go to England. Married. End of story. To God be the glory. Watch out for part two. What is it to watch out for? What is there? The quality of your thinking will determine the quality of your life. How are you thinking? Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been challenged? Have you been challenged? Okay, have you been blessed? Have you been inspired? I gave you an assignment last week. I will reemphasize the assignment. A day is coming, I will mark it myself as the head teacher. Please, and I'm serious about this, take note of the thoughts that are predominant in your mind. How are you thinking? What are you really thinking about? How do you see yourself? Well, my parents are poor. It's no news. You want Nikoko? Ak bombe. Parents are poor, eh? Is that, eh? That's my background. I wish that my parents were teachers like you, that they were at least educated. I used to think like that. Nonsense. Who does that help? Even if your parents are professors, it only gives you a leverage. A leverage. But how many children of professors turn out to be professors themselves? Most professors are the children of nobodies yesterday. They're professors today. But let them pray and work hard and teach their children, so that they can take it to the greater heights. Otherwise, not guaranteed. How are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Nigeria is hard now. Nigeria is hard. How are you thinking? My life is not hard. My own family will not be hard. It will not be hard for us to eat. We will come to church. Oh, listen to me. There's prayer tomorrow, 3 to 5. Transport fare. Yes, I will have it. I will be in church. Bible study. 5:30 on Thursday. Yes, I'll be there. And God will supply. If I want to come down to the level of some people's thinking, I'll say, no, let's cancel Bible study. Let's be doing online. Online Bible. Every Thursday online. Zoom. Don't come. Because you don't have money. You do. In the name of Jesus. You do. I say you do in the name of Jesus. You do have money in the name of Jesus. Don't let anybody pity you and say, I understand your situation. What is your situation? I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm not to be pitied. I'm to be celebrated. Don't ever be a victim. Don't have a victim mentality. Petrol is now more expensive. You all know. No story. NNPC has moved to 865 from 580. But can I tell you what? The money that you will use to buy petrol in your car, God will supply. You don't have a car yet. The money you use to transport yourself around, God will supply. Don't go and commit suicide now. This is suicide comes from the mind also. Petrol is now 865. But how many people are buying from NNPC? Most are buying from other PCs. And it's 1K. In some places, 1.2, 1.4, 1.1, 950. How will I now go from UI to Mokola every day? How much is Mokola to UI? 150. It will no longer be 150 now. Is that much? Are you kidding me? 400 naira? You don't feel fair, I may go there to bay. 400. Now listen. 400. This is the way the devil works. 400 every day. Where will you get 400 from? Where? Where will you get 400 from? Is this life worth living at all? As transportation fare has gone up, expect food price to go up. It's not the fault of the market men and market women. It's not their fault because they also transport goods. How about your house rent? It will also go up. How about the things you normally buy? They will go up. How are you going to survive? Listen. This is how the devil works. He will not be working on your mind. What are you going to do now? 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 Finally, he will ask you, he's shifting the emphasis. What are you going to do now? You will now miss okay. I don't know how to say that in English, but you miss okay. Then you now make all. Then you know what comes out of your mouth? What am I going to do now? What is the Holy Ghost going to do now? What is Jesus going to do now? What is God going to do now? He's done everything and you are well covered. Can I have an amen? You will never lack. Amen. It's impossible for a kingdom child of God that carries kingdom mentality to be poor. You will not be poor. If you are dealing with poverty now, God will move you to the next level in the name of Jesus. God will prosper the works of your hands in the name of Jesus. God will raise helpers of destiny for you in the name of Jesus. David, the psalmist of Israel, said in Psalm 37, verse 25, I was young. Now I'm old. But there's something I've never seen. I've seen kingdoms rise and fall. I've seen kings enthroned and dethroned. But one thing I've never seen. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You will never beg bread. I want that amen to come from your spirit. You will never beg bread. Your children will never beg bread in the name of Jesus. That's how to live. A different mindset. You don't have to steal to survive. You don't have to scam to be a big man. No, you don't have to. God, my Father has more than enough to bless me so I can bless other people. Bring laughter, joy, happiness to families, not to bring them pain. I'm not a minister of pain. I'm a minister of God. You're a child of God. You're not a child of pain. I pray for those of you who don't have jobs and you are looking for a job. This season, your remembrance is here in the name of Jesus. God will cause people to remember you. Shout a better amen. Somebody somewhere has to remember you in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how far away they are. It doesn't matter the country, the city, the state. At this moment, in the realm of the spirit, God will cause them to remember you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. It's our season of remembrance. Listen to other people. The Lord will order your steps. The Lord will order your stops. Your steps and your stops. Your steps and your stops. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will give you recommenders. Those that will recommend your brand to the king. Those that will recommend what you do to those that need you. In the mighty name of Jesus. God will give you visibility. It will give visibility to your business. Visibility to your ministry. Visibility to your brand. Visibility to your talent. In the mighty name of Jesus. It will take you from obscurity and bring you to limelight. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will sit and dine and wine with kings. God will take some of you in this season to places where you will ask yourself, how did I get here? And your answer would be, it can only be God. People will look at you and say, oh boy, it can only be God. Hi. What the Lord has done for me, I cannot tell it all. What the Lord has done for me. That will be your song. I cannot tell it all. Oh. Shandalaba hastiyaraba. Saved me and washed me in his blood. So I can shout. So I can shout. Without number. The rest of September, October, November, December, God will be doing wonders without number in your life in the name of Jesus. Miracles that you cannot count finish. You can't count it all. Every day, brand new miracle. Every day, new breakthrough. Every day, new advancement. Every day, new help. New help, new help, new help. It's a new season. It's a new day. Express on the house. Give him a shout of praise.